weird times. We're all doing things that we might not otherwise do. We're eating things we might otherwise not eat. We're wearing clothes that we might not otherwise wear. I'm going to play simulation baseball. I wouldn't normally do that. That's not normally my game. I wouldn't normally say, you know what, Mike Wilner? I will join your league with your fellow nerds. I will dedicate one day a week to simulating a nine-inning baseball game. I will invest some time in strategizing and roster creation. Why not? We live in strange times, J.D. Bunkus.
I don't like you jumping out ahead of this story.
Well, that's how you spin a narrative,
yeah,
right?
I don't like you trying to control the narrative, being the first one out of the gate here. Why not? Oh, these times. There's no amount of time that you should have as a father of two and as someone who does a daily sports talk radio show in the era of no sports, where we're constantly just trying to come up with the right ideas, come up with new stuff, come up with things that'll keep people entertained. The era of, you know, Rogers on Demand, Netflix, all these different providers of great content, books. I ordered a new book that's coming today. I'm so excited for it. You have decided that the extra time that this has carved out for you, that if Ben Ennis is given a morsel of added time, that playing Dungeons and Dragons baseball with Mike Wilner is what you want to do with your time during these difficult, difficult hours. That's
so,
you.
I want, massive dork. We're having this conversation for the first time because we haven't talked about it. But I want to give you a peek behind the curtain as to why I said yes to Mike Wilner, because this is
hold
not
on.
The
let's
first
explain
time
what's even happening here.
Okay.
Because like
right.
You kind of just jumped into it and like assume people know what simulation baseball is.
Okay, it's like you get, I think it's like playing cards. And anyways, every player has. Baseball is the game that could be simulated, right? Because it's just probabilities and it's odds and whatever. Mike Wilner's been playing this game for, I don't know, 20 years. His league, his simulation baseball league, has been going on forever, forever, forever. And people have dropped out of it. People have joined. He's asked me to join it before. I've rebuffed him because, you know, I can barely even play fantasy sports normally. Just because I have two kids and I don't have the time or care enough to play simulation baseball. He came to me again yesterday with the idea of starting up yet another simulation baseball league. Hey, would you like to join? And at first I was like, meh. He said, well, and I thought it was a good idea, maybe some content for your show. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I'll do it. Maybe ask J.D. Bunkus. Maybe ask J.D. Bunkus if he wants to get involved. Perhaps there'll be some sort of rivalry. Shai Davidi's in this thing. Some big wheels.
Outing Shai. Outing Shai. Ouch.
I think
that's
they'll
really
out
harsh.
Themselves as we go
okay,
forward here.
So let me stop you right there and just say, first of all, this is the last time we're ever talking about this on the show. I don't care what depths of depravity we need to explore on this program to fill the void
of
no sports, but we are not going to be updating things from your rolling the dice. And I roll the dice, and it's a base hit, and my team has now got a runner on first. It's multiple dice that you roll to get your runner on first. I have Josh Donaldson. He's got an expected power of 12. Rolling the dice for Donaldson. Oh, a double. That is the most cringeworthy thing that I've ever heard of that anybody plays this. I think Dungeons & Dragons is actually cooler. Like, at least if you're playing Dungeons & Dragons, you're like an elf and you're going on a quest and you're, you know, defeating a dragon. You got
yeah,
some cool thing.
It takes Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a storytelling ability. There's a dungeon master and they figure out like, by the way, everything that I've gleaned from this is from Stranger Things. So
yes.
If I get something wrong here, feel free to let me know. You guys have decided instead of telling an epic tale like in Lord of the Rings / Dungeons and Dragons, you have just decided to simulate baseball games in your basements. It is so cringeworthy. It took everything in my power not to just eviscerate Mike Wilner for even asking me. I was like, I wanted to reply, if I was the last man on earth and you were the other last man on earth and we needed to coexist and get along, I still wouldn't play your dorky fantasy baseball league. I'm so embarrassed that I was even asked. Even that I was asked just says something about me that I'm uncomfortable with. That I was even close enough to that circle. It hurts. It hurts me deep down in my soul.
Okay, I wish I could go into my texts and read you what they were line for line, but I'm too afraid to mess with my phone because we're doing a radio show through my phone right now. But let me give you the gist of it. Mike Wilner asked me, he's like, should I ask JD? And I was like, he's not going to say yes. Like, why would you bother?
No,
like, but it could be good. But it could be good content for your show. And like, I'd feel bad that I'd be hurting his feelings if I didn't ask him. I said again, not going to hurt his feelings. One, because he doesn't care, and two, because he has no feelings to hurt because he's soulless. But yeah, man, go ahead and ask him because maybe he will say yes, and maybe it's going to be good content. But lastly. That's the scariest part. Hold on, that you think it'd be good content.
Like, that's the part I'm actually worried about.
This is the content I was most looking forward to. But, okay, I get it. It's nerdy. Nobody's disputing the nerdiness of the simulation baseball, right? Like, that's – and also, I would be a little bit cautious if I were you in totally disparaging this thing because I would hazard to guess that it's a percentage higher than 3 that are listening to us right now who might be kind of into simulation baseball. But
don't care. They're nerds too.
That's fine. Hey, that's fine. You can live there.
Find better things to do than simulate baseball games. Take up Dungeons & Dragons, for example.
I would just ask this question. How much separation, how much difference is there between simulation baseball with playing cards and dice and human interaction and video games and playing, I don't know, MLB The Show or Madden? Explain how much of a difference there is.
So I'm not the right person to weigh in on this because I retired the sticks post-university and basically I was a Madden / NHL / 2K guy. Those are the only 3 games I ever played. I never really played MLB The Show. It was too hard. It was too hard for me to learn. I was way too behind the game. I would say that the biggest difference is that you're actually playing a game against one another. It takes skill. All you guys are doing is rolling dice. You're rolling dice in a fantasy nerd game, and you're coming up with stuff. The setup of what you're doing is so much more elaborate. You're asking me a question. Let me answer it. You're getting playing cards and dice rolls and figuring out statistics and updating it and playing 100. You're playing over 100 games. Like, you're playing an entire season out. You know what the difference is between me playing Madden in university versus you as a grown-ass man at age 37 years old? Whoever knows. You playing dice roll games with Mike Wilner? You have a family. You have responsibilities. I was just sitting there playing video games, trying to pass the time with a friend. No, this is inexcusable. This is totally inexcusable. And it brings me to today's main topic, which is I was texting with friends last night. It is. Today's main topic is this. I texted a friend yesterday. And then a bunch of other friends, asking them what they would do for all sports to come back, or giving them scenarios, is, hey, would you do X, would you allow X, for all the sports to come back tomorrow? Because in talking with our friend Andrew Walker yesterday on Vancouver Sports Radio, he was asking me what I was doing. And I said, for the most part, I'm rewatching old Raptors games, I'm rewatching old Blue Jays games, I'm rewatching games on NBA.com. I'm spending a lot of time still in the middle of watching sports. Like, last time I watched the 92 Blue Jays and then the 2015 Blue Jays where they came back from down 8-1. I missed that game. I was at a cottage that weekend, so it was actually kind of fun to watch it because I had no memories of it. So I asked you to put together 5 questions today for me, and I presented 5 questions for you as to whether or not you would allow these scenarios to play out in order for all the sports to return today.
Yeah, what would you do to get sports back? All right.
Right.
Who wants
and so
to
we'll extend that. We'll extend that to our Twitter audience. So tweet us at JD Bunkus at Sportsnet Ben. We'll put something up later too. But what would you do for all the sports to come back tomorrow? Do you want me to start or you to start with your questions to me?
Why don't you start?
Okay, I'll start with the easy one.
Mm-hmm.
Would you let your wife go on a date with her movie star crush, and then you never get to ask her a question about it?
So, in this scenario, the movie star crush is, like, doing it for the publicity, or, like, he's actually,
nope.
like, he's interested. Like, how do we know? Like, how do we know the level of interest?
Oh, he's interested. He's picking her up. He's taking her on a date. Like, he knows she's married. He doesn't care. He's picking her up. You've allowed this scenario to play out. It's an indecent proposal situation. He is a wizard. He has these powers. He comes to you and he says, listen, let me take your wife out on a date. Nothing's guaranteed, but I'm going to test her loyalty. But here's the thing. You can just, like, never ask her about it. You can't infer about it. You can't try to dig about it. You just have to live with it for the rest of your life, never knowing exactly what happened. She goes on a date with her movie star crush.
I don't even know why I needed to ask a follow-up. Yes, of course I would let her do that. Yeah, without thinking twice. Like, yeah, she's going to go on a date with Leonardo DiCaprio. Hey!
Yeah.
You know what? Good on you. If you're able to work Leo for an amorous night, like, love my wife to death, but, like, that's kind of got to give her mucho aplauso. And you know what? Ignorance is bliss there. Like, if I wouldn't want to ask. I wouldn't want to know. I don't know. She kind of gets the pass there. If she ends up on a date with Leonardo DiCaprio, kind of reminds me of that Friends episode, right, where everybody's got their five celebrity cheater free pass list.
Okay, let me change the question then.
Nah, it's too late. It's too late. What are you talking about? Can we do this? Is Leo listening?
No, I'm just saying, like, how far we'll go. Because, like, yeah, you know what? Leo is almost like, you'd be a bad husband for denying your wife a night with Leo. So, like, yeah, you're right. What if it was the guy you hated the most in college?
Oh, God.
He gets to take her out on a date. But he's actually a guy who's, like, pretty good with ladies. It can't be a guy you hate in college who's a complete zero and would have no chance. It's got to be a guy you hated in college or in high school but actually has wheels.
Or how about in everyday life right now? How about in adult life? That's way worse. What are you talking about? Adult life.
Either
someone way. That you interact with, yeah, every day?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's worse, especially if it's somebody you have to see every day. Like, I don't know, say somebody you work with.
Would you do it?
That's tougher. Yeah, it's hard for me to imagine somebody in the
all the sports are back tomorrow
on par. I mean, first of all, if it ever got exposed that I said no to this, like, the world would have me tarred and feathered tomorrow.
No, everyone knows that you didn't say no to all these answers. It's always private. It's you and the wizard. You're eye to eye. He tells you the scenarios. And no one else has to know. But you have to live with the shameful secret knowing that this is that you have affected other people, of course.
Yeah, I guess so. I would do that one. Here's the thing. In that scenario, there's nobody. So in the Leo scenario, I'm like, wow, like, how would you ever resist the
right.
advances of Leonardo DiCaprio? In this scenario, there's nobody that I can put in my mind's eye that I'm like, oh, yeah, you're going to choose that guy? Nah, there's no scenario. So yeah, I would.
Yeah, but you would never
go ahead, go on a date. Yeah, sure, fine. I'm confident.
You don't know how many glasses of wine they had that night, and how like, you know, maybe bored she is of all your moves. Like, who knows?
I know how much my wife loves me. That's the thing. That's
okay.
The key.
Hey, listen, that's part of the scenario here is to see how confident you are. I'm glad to see that your relationship is on such stable footing. Like, that makes me warm in my heart.
Yeah. All right. How about this one? Is this going to make you warm in your heart? You love listening to podcasts. This is okay. So this is also painting a scenario where everyday life is back to normal. You're taking the subway into work where you listen to your podcast constantly, hours and hours. And before you get on the subway, you're listening to podcasts. For 5 years, instead of podcasts, you have to listen to it's a 30-minute recording, but it loops. Of me chewing and eating food.
No.
An apple, different fruits. You have to listen to a 30-minute loop of me chewing every day for five years going to and from work.
I wouldn't do 5 months. Your chewing is disgusting. I was in the back seat of a car where you and your dad were in the front, and you were both chewing gum at the same time. And I legitimately fantasized about jumping out into traffic. You guys are the worst gum chewers or chewers of anything that I've ever come across over the course of my entire life. It's disgusting. If you had proposed this scenario for like a couple weeks or something, then, you know, I would do it. I would take the hit. But 5 years, every day I have to listen to you chew. I'm sure that I would have built up some sort of immunity eventually, but probably not before I went completely insane. Plus, I would lose my job because I'd come into work. I'd hate you so much. I wouldn't be able to look you in the eyes. We would try to talk sports, but I would dread coming into work every day because I'd be so worried about listening to you chew in my ear for 30 minutes a day. I would be a more difficult person to deal with, and I'm not exactly easy sometimes already. So the answer is no. 5 years of you chewing in my ears for what is going to be an hour a day? No. Well, no. That's
incredibly selfish.
No, it's not selfish. If people heard you chew, they'd all be on my team here. They'd be like, yeah, of course. That's a repulsive and way over the top scenario. Like, some of the disgusting scenarios that I was proposing to people yesterday that I can't share on radio weren't as disgusting as that. Like, you bringing that to the microphone as number one, trying to ease me into the pool. I'm terrified of what you have on the rest of your list. Like, truly.
You can turn it down. You can turn the volume down. You didn't even think about workarounds to this. Like, you can put it on one notch. You can't put it on mute, obviously. But you can put it down to one notch. So you would get used to it eventually.
Sure.
It just
one notch
like
is I'm not listening to anything. You're just asking me to give up podcasts for 5 years, which that would still be tough. That would still be tough. Podcasts for 5 years. I do love podcasts. That's done a lot for me over the stretch. I believe in podcasts. It's why we're doing Raptors Rerun again tonight. We're starting with the Sixers series. For those of you that aren't already subscribed to this, Good Shows podcast feed, we're putting it up on the Good Shows podcast feed at the end of today's Raptors-Sixers game one, and we'll be doing a podcast reviewing each one of those games throughout the run. All right, I got another one for you. Would you lose 2 hours of sleep a night for the rest of the year? And this is assuming that you don't get to make up the extra hour. It's like your regular sleep patterns that you get right now, you lose 2 hours a year. So if your kids end up waking
up 2 hours a day for a
year. Two hours a day for the entire year, you lose that, but you get sports back tomorrow. The wizard looks you in the eye. He says that the formula is minus 2 hours of sleep every single night. You're down to, I don't know, I feel like you get like 6 or 7 max on a good day. You're down to like 5.
Yeah, when we're watching sports, when sports are on, I go to bed at midnight and set the alarm at 6:15.
Even
so
that
I'm
weekend
down,
day, that weekend day where you love to sleep in and you like to collect your extra hour.
I wish I could sleep in on the weekends. I can't. Mm-hmm. Same thing on the weekends.
So would you give up 2 hours of sleep for the rest of the year to have sports back tomorrow?
All right, so 4 hours of sleep per night. Am I allowed to nap?
No, 2 hours of sleep per night.
No, I know, but so I'm down to 4 hours. If I'm sleeping 6, I'm down to 4 hours a night?
Yeah, you can still nap, but it's your regular sleep rotation. So maybe one of the hours you lose or some of the time you lose is in the nap, right? It's all the sleep that you're currently collecting right now. There's no work around it. It's like you're combining all the hours you have and you're subtracting 2 a night.
Sure. I mean, I feel like I'm tough enough. I could sacrifice. I could just be a crazy person. Like I'm teetering towards that end right now, being in my house for a couple of weeks. But yeah, I'll just be the crazy guy who has bloodshot eyes constantly, sleeping 4 hours a day like Richard Branson or all those Fortune 500 CEOs. Sure, I'll do it. For a year, you said? No problem.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Sign me up. People do that. That's the thing. I don't think it's good for you, and I think the people that brag about it, like those CEOs, like, that's stupid. But yeah, people do it, so you can survive on it. I guess I would just have to say that that's what I'm doing. Maybe I'd get a lot more done. Maybe it'd be good for me. I'd do it. Sure. Sign me up.
All right. Hey, you're very selfless. All right. Next question.
All right. So I wanted to – this one combines a couple of different things. And people who saw that picture I posted of you last week know what I'm talking about. It's gotten even worse since. In this scenario, your beard stays on for 5 years, which of course also correlates to you practicing abstinence for the next 5 years. Would you grow the beard out for 5 more years? You can't even trim it. The beard goes beyond where it is right now for 5 years, and you can't touch it. No, you're thinking hard.
Man, all your scenarios are 5 years, eh? Like, you're really making me commit. I have to ask you for your wife to go on a date one night. You lose sleep for 1 year. Everything with you is so extreme. Like 5 years, Benny? Five years of gross facial hair.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, I know.
I couldn't do it. That's my whole prime. I'm a single guy. I'm not married. If I was married, if I was you, and I was just like, yeah, I had really nothing else to do. I'd already reached my peak. I'm just, everything in my life is downhill from here moving forward. I would do that. But no, selfishly, I need to have the company of women. And I think that my prospects would be so greatly diminished. It'd be like, what's even the point? It's like the Chappelle joke, right? Everything that men do is all eventually to be desirable to other women. So it's like, what's even the point? Like, I'm only watching sports. I'm stumped the shop. I'm just like, that's my whole life. No, I can't do it. I have to wait out these. I'm assuming sports are coming back in 4-ish months, that we're getting mid-July. That's how long the layoff is going to be. I can't do 5 years of the beard for this. And again, nobody else knows that I decided this. It's just me and the wizard. So like, I assume I'm just selfishly like, nah, I'm not doing that.
You're the worst. You're the absolute worst.
Would you go back to a dial-up 56K modem for a year on all your devices you use?
Yeah, I would. Man, I'm so selfless. Like, I would, yeah, for a year? No, so listen, I don't want to be
your
as
phone,
engaged.
Your tablet, your games, your,
oh, yeah.
I guess you're playing
games.
Stratomatic, whatever, baseball, so you don't need it.
Hey,
you'll just do that to fill the void.
Once sports come back, I'm probably not doing the simulation baseball anymore.
No, but you, anytime you want to watch something on Netflix, anytime you want to use the internet, it's like unbelievably slow. I mean,
yeah,
every time you use the internet, think about that.
Okay, listen, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Netflix is an easy workaround. Like, you decide if you want to watch something on Netflix in the morning and you set it up to download, right? On your computer, because you can do that.
I mean, yeah, but you got to do that in the morning every day. No pressure.
In the morning. I could remove myself from social media and have an excuse? Oh, would love it. Yeah, man, I would do that in a heartbeat. No problem. Yeah, take me away from the internet. I don't want more internet. I want less. I want to be less connected.
Right.
Give me sports back? 100%. All right, should we save the rest of these?
No, go. Go again.
Okay, we're going to just do rapid fire here. All right. Mine are longer term. All right. No more Bud Lights at sporting events for the rest of your life.
No.
None.
Next.
No more Bud Lights.
Zero. Dude, yours are so harsh. You're trying to take away what I love the most.
You can drink other things.
No. There's no such thing as another thing as a sporting event than a Bud Light. Like, when the beer vendor comes around to me and is like, beer, and I go, it's getting close to the seventh inning. I might as well just grab one more Bud Light from you. And they go, all out of Bud Light. I got Keith's, I got Stella. I'm like, get out of here. What are you doing? Go restock. You're wasting everybody's time. So the rest of my life, no.
Yeah.
I plan on living a long, long time.
Wow.
And I plan on going to sporting events like Blue Jays games for the rest of my life. I plan on going to these things. I can't sacrifice. I've told you before that if there was my favorite beer on the planet is Rogers Center, Sunny Day, Bud Light, nothing beats it. It's the best patio in Toronto. Patio season is already going to be hard enough to lose, but losing that is, though, it's deadly. The rest of my life, no. Am I 0-3 on your scenarios?
Yeah, no, it's my mistake for thinking you weren't as selfish as you obviously are. No, it's my bad. You go ahead.
Dude, I would do some horrific things. You've just asked me
no,
to,
apparently
like...
No, not. No, except for not drink a Bud Light at a sporting event.
For the rest of my life. For the rest of my life.
Yeah,
no.
You drink Bud Heavy.
Okay. Let's just do one more each. Would you break your ankle again in an even more embarrassing way?
Well, okay, that leaves it very open to the imagination there.
Yeah.
It
the
hurt
wizard,
a lot.
This is a tricky one because the wizard just says it's an embarrassing way and you don't know how embarrassing, but it's more embarrassing than when you snapped it just walking while playing frisbee golf.
I honestly didn't find that embarrassing. I just can't help but put myself in this position of sacrificing things for the people. Sure, it wasn't that bad. Like, looking back, I know Kevin Barker tried to freak me out that I'd never be the same. I feel fine now. Sure, it's the same bone, the fibula on the left leg instead of the right. Yeah, sure, I'll do that tomorrow.
Wait, I'll let you pick the ankle. Would you rather shatter your already bad ankle that all of a sudden gets worse, or would you shatter your good ankle and just be a guy with two bad ankles?
Honestly, that the good ankle, it feels more sore than the right ankle these days for some reason. So yeah, just give me that ankle. Give me, I'm already a gimp. So yeah, like it's yeah, I'm fine with that. All right, last one. Okay, so I have to bring down the years because yeah, obviously you're super selfish. I think I have to bring this down to like a month. All right, so.
No, you just be reasonable. The rest of my life in 5 years.
No, this was like... originally 5 years, but there's no way you're going to do this for 5 years. No, I think I have to do a month. Every disagreement, every argument you have for an entire month, you have to defer in every single one. The other person has to be correct. You have to go along with what they say. Every single person that comes to you with an idea, theirs is right and yours is wrong for a month.
Oh, yeah, I would do it. I would do it. I really miss sports. I really need sports back. I don't know how I'm going to get through the next 2 months. I don't know how it's going to go down. I'm worried about what type of person I'm going to be coming out on the other side of this. I think I'm going to love sports way more. But yeah, I would definitely do that. I would even do that for a year.
Wow.
The problem is that again, I have to take my work into account, and would I be an entertaining sports radio host if all I ever did would be was like...
No, this is off air. No, this is off air entirely.
Oh, yeah.
This is in your real life.
Yeah, I would do it. I have certain friends who I would have to avoid more. Like, I would really have to avoid some people I know because they drive me insane. But yeah, I would do that. I would do that for a year. I would be willing to take the bullet on that and easily do that for sports.
All right.
All the sports are back tomorrow, right? Like,
yeah, that's right.
Oh, could you imagine?
Yeah. That would be my favorite. I would absolutely love that one.
Yeah, it'd be tough for us off air because you'd be like, what about me talking about the Stratomatic Baseball League for the ninth day in a row? I'd be like, that's a great idea.
Yeah. All right. Let us know if you have any other hypotheticals. What would you do to get sports back at Sportsnet Ben? At JD Bunkus. When we come back, Jason Lacanfora, CBS. It's a good show. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I can't wait until baseball is back, and we can talk to our next guest about the Baltimore Orioles. Who knows when that'll happen, but I don't think we're going to get too much Orioles talk in, or maybe we will get some. Jason Lacanfora joins us online of CBS. How's it going, Jason?
What's going on, guys?
Not a whole heck of a lot. So, what
sitting is... Sitting inside, rotting away.
Yeah,
looking out the window. Yeah, trying to do a radio show from my bedroom. Yeah, good times. So the NFL team facilities are closed. There's been rumors about maybe a delay in the start of the season. Like, where are we as far as actual official events being delayed or pushed back, or if we're talking about the draft or the opening week of the season, are we close to something being officialized?
I don't think so. These guys have waited till, I mean, they waited till 2 weeks later than most people in the league thought they would to cancel a little league meeting in West Palm Beach that was really, I mean, something that could have been done over conference call or Skype. Could they begrudgingly change the draft? I guess they might. They don't seem inclined to do it. I can't predict the pandemic. I don't think anybody can. What's going to be closed? What's going to be open day to day, week to week? They're clearly not in a rush to start clarifying what the off-season programs will look like beyond the original pushback that they already signed off on. So I don't know anybody in the NFL who thinks, and by the NFL, I mean who work for NFL teams, who think that it's remotely possible we're going to have anything like a normal off-season with 6 weeks of OTAs, organized practices at facilities, and then a big mini camp, and then, 4 weeks later, we all come back for the start of training camp. I can't imagine the schedule works that way. Teams are trying to figure out how they're going to indoctrinate rookies bracing for the possibility of no practices, no walkthroughs, maybe nobody in their building until training camp, whenever training camp begins. And the NFL has been meeting around the clock for weeks, coming up with different scenarios, different contingencies. How long of a training camp do we need if there's no off-season programs whatsoever? We're already talking about three preseason games. Do we just play two? Do we just play one, and then a padded practice, and then away we go to the regular season? Is it a 16-game regular season, or is it something a little bit different? I don't think anybody knows the answers to those questions yet. They're preparing for it, but I wouldn't be holding my breath for any proclamations from the NFL until we get closer to the draft and then, closer to mini camps when they would normally be and all that stuff.
Well, what you just said about that this entire offseason makes it pretty clear. You hit on some really good points as to why this might impact rookies more than anyone else. And heading into the draft, have you heard any buzz that draft picks are worth maybe less than seasons before? Obviously not the top ones where you're able to go out and try to get yourself a franchise quarterback, but that some teams are looking to try to kick their draft picks down the road, or that maybe they feel as though they're devalued because it's going to be harder to bring a rookie in, work them out, and then get them adjusted to your playbook or your system.
No, I haven't heard anything like that. I mean, the bottom line is what the majority of these grades should be based on is what the players have done. And they all finished their college seasons. They played the Senior Bowl. We had the combine. I mean, the owners don't get to take them out to dinner and decide whether they think they're, franchise QB material or not. But in terms of the football side of things, from a scout's perspective, in a bizarre way, this is a good thing, because you just go back to the tape, you go back to your grades, and you don't overweigh. And you got, the medicals that you were able to get at the combine. And you don't overweigh personality, or you don't have owners all of a sudden coming into your draft board late at night and switching around the order of players because they prefer one guy to the other, or because, their wife thinks this guy looks more like a leader than the other. It's in a weird way a little bit more of a clean process. I don't think draft picks are any less important. You're not looking at these as one-year commitments. I mean, first round, you got them for 5 years. There's going to be a learning curve with a lot of teams with new head coaches and new schemes and systems. That's just going to be a reality. There is going to be a competitive imbalance. If things go the way I think they will go, and those who have continuity between GM and coach and quarterback and coordinators and scheme and philosophy and terminology are going to have an advantage, especially if we hit the ground running and there's a three-week training camp and then they're playing games that matter in the standings. So, I think the smart teams will look at this as a challenge and an opportunity to find market inefficiencies and, to maybe have it work in a bizarre way to their favor. But it won't make the draft any less important. Would teams like to have a little more time? Sure. I mean, they're dealing with the same real-life stuff everybody else is. How am I working from home? I've got to change all these schedules around. None of these scouts are on the road now. Is my wife okay? Are my kids okay? Are the other employees in this organization okay? They've got enough planning and things to do on their own end that another couple of weeks for the draft when there's nothing else going on and no one thinks the organized team activities are going to start on time or the mini camps are going to be on time anyway seems to football people like a no-brainer, but it's the money people who run the league.
Talking to Jason Lacken for us. So the NFL suspending physicals for pending free agents. There's some big names still out there. Can anyone sign, really, if we're not doing physicals? Do we have to wait until they reopen that?
Well, not many teams have been able to do their physicals anyway, and it didn't stop them from opening the league year. Guys were pretty much not traveling then anyway. In the case of a Cam Newton, you don't want a third-party physical or some doctor you don't know who checked him out in his hometown or, down in Atlanta where he lives, whatever. I don't think that's ever going to fly anyway when we're talking about a guy who's missed 2 years. But all these deals are always subject to a physical. So you agree to terms, you make the announcement, you say there'll be no press conference, and he won't be – nothing will be finalized until we actually pick football activities up and we get them in our building and our doctors check them out. But, he's agreed to a one-year, $15 million contract with, $5 million in incentives and an option for 2021. it's, you know, there's nothing precluding teams from doing that. And, I mean, I don't think Teddy Bridgewater's taken his physical yet. I mean, there's been a lot of these moves that are, you know, have multiple contingencies to them. That's sort of the way most of these teams have been operating. Most teams were shutting their buildings down or eliminating who's allowed in the buildings well before the NFL put out its edict.
Yeah, and Cam Newton is especially interesting for some of the reasons that you highlighted. And Peter King told us yesterday that he could actually even see a scenario where Cam waits until there's an injury before he even starts exploring scenarios with teams. And the market seems really flush right now, especially considering you're going to have some rookies come in and take some jobs.
Yeah, and I don't see that happening.
Yeah, there's just too many. You don't see. So I was going to say, what do you perceive as the market for Cam?
I think he'll make a decision before that. You're going to have five kids probably in the first round. So that's five more slots where, okay, well, we know we got this guy in our back pocket, so why do we have to take a chance on Cam? I don't think it plays out that. Now, Jameis, I can see if I'm Jameis, all right. I just might, if my best option is being, going to Pittsburgh for $4 million and seeing if Ben gets hurt, I may wait till there's a viable path to be a starter. But, I mean, a team like the Chargers, a team like the Patriots, a team like the Raiders, for Cam Newton at the right price, I don't know why they wouldn't do it. It wouldn't be enough to preclude them, especially in the case of the Patriots, from drafting a quarterback, but they're not going to be in the mix for Burrow or Tua or Herbert or Love anyway. They'd have to mortgage too much to move up, and they don't have a lot of draft capital to begin with. But for some of those other teams, you've got it. I mean, you're buying low on a guy who for 7 years before these injuries kicked in was one of the most productive quarterbacks in the league and who was always available and who was a touchdown machine with his arm or with his legs. I can't imagine that he's got to wait until whenever this thing opens up in August, you know what I mean, for his best shot or whenever it is, July or June or whatever. But who knows? I mean, these are certainly weird times, and I've never seen a market like this before, and there's been outside factors that have – out of everybody's control that have something to do with it. But I can't see the Chargers just squatting on Tyrod Taylor and whatever, drafting Herbert and waiting to see if Cam's market totally, totally crumbles. You know what I mean? Like when training camps open. I think somebody rolls the dice on them before then.
Well, the quarterback market gets especially interesting if you read anything into this Deshaun Watson cryptic tweet. He tweeted, "I don't know how I'm going to make it out of here clean. Can't even keep track of who plays for the other team. Iconic duos rip and split at the seams." Have you heard any buzz out of Houston as to how Deshaun Watson and his relationship with Bill O'Brien have developed over the last couple of weeks?
Well, I mean, if you're Deshaun Watson, you're upset. I mean, that was your number one playmaker. That was a guy who aided your development. That was a guy who's a pro's pro, a top 10 player in the league, arguably the best player in the world at his position, and a guy who, had been there for a long time, been sort of a loyal soldier, and, you know, watched as they, you know, as Bill O'Brien got rid of, you know, Dwayne Brown and then got rid of Jadeveon Clowney. And then everybody's kind of saying, well, who's next? Who, you know, Bill O'Brien expects a certain level of acquiescence, I guess I'll say. And at this point, you know, Hopkins was one of the many skeptics in that locker room saying we can't have this dude picking all the players and coaching the team. And he hasn't handled contract situations with any degree of bedside manner. And so, yeah, if I'm the quarterback, I'm like, well, we're going to pay Will Fuller all that money? And, like, you think Randall Cobb's going to replace Watson and Tunsil still doesn't have his deal yet? And, you know, our defense isn't very good, and how are we getting any better over there? And, dude, I got a punctured lung for you or whatever, a collapsed lung, and I had to take a bus instead of flying at one point. And I've been hit and sacked more than anybody else since I came in the league. Now you're taking away my number one. I mean, why would he be – I mean, what is there to be happy about? I mean, we're losing the first round every year. Like, yeah, Bill O'Brien's got issues in that locker room, big time. The proof will be in the pudding. Did Deshaun Watson just refuse to sign an extension? And does he go public with some things? The way some other guys have. I don't know, but Houston's had a miserable offseason, and I don't see it getting better anytime soon.
Jason, we appreciate the time. Hey, stay safe. Thanks for this.
You guys do the same. Thank you.
Jason Lacanfora. CBS. Hey, you could win a $500 VTEC prize pack with the weekly VTEC wake-up call. 416-413-4141. Tell us your favorite sports memory, why it's your favorite, then tune in on Friday morning to hear if we play yours back. If we do, it's your cue for the VTEC wake-up call. Again, the number 416-413-4141. You can visit sportsnet.ca/590 for details. When we come back, man, all five of those Mets starting pitchers from 2015 now going to undergo Tommy John surgery, including Noah Syndergaard, despite Florida shutting down non-essential surgeries. Huh? It's a good show. Ben Annis, J.D. Bunkus, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. JD Bunkus, as far as your hypotheticals, what you would do to get sports back. I said yes to everything. JD Bunkus just doesn't like sports as much as me.
I was kind. Only did things that lasted a full year. You asked me to do things for 5 years and the rest of my life. Yeah, you're horrible at this game.
Yeah. No, the rest of your life. Bud Lights. Wow. Like, I took one drink out of your arsenal at all sporting events. That's it. That's
you might as
drink.
Well have been like, hey, would you go your rest of your life without drinking water? It's like, no, it's impossible, Ben. Like, it's not possible. I would violate it. And then what? And then the wizard shows up and is just like, wow, you violated the terms day one at a sporting event. Now sports are gone forever. Now I'm being selfless in this, man. I'm being selfless.
All right.
Know my limitations.
Yeah, which are many. So this is not, hey, man, we're done litigating the R.A. Dickey trade. It's over. It was not as bad as people thought, but not good. Like, R.A. Dickey took the ball for the Blue Jays for a couple of years. Congratulations. Cost them another roster spot because they had to keep Josh Tolley, who was nothing. Like, Josh Tolley in the lineup basically took away 1/9 of your offensive capabilities.
Good
and
guy,
R.A. Dickey, he was great guy. Loved talking to Josh Tolley. He understood that he had to be very nice to save from being skewered daily in the media. R.A. Dickey, he was, you know what, he was great. Not great, but he was definitely more valuable during a regular season. We could take the ball 30 times as opposed to, like, getting into a playoff series. You don't want R.A. Dickey. But Noah Syndergaard, yeah. Even with this news that he's about to have Tommy John surgery in Florida, you'd still rather have the peak of Noah Syndergaard, the best pitcher in the league, for whatever amount of time that the Mets had him, and maybe again when he returns in just over a year's time. But that's the deal. He's having Tommy John surgery. Now it is. So of that Mets generation of incredible pitchers, Matt Harvey, Jacob DeGrom had it before he ever made the majors. Zach Wheeler had it. Steven Matz, and now Syndergaard. All five of those dudes have had Tommy John surgery. So that in and itself is like kind of an anomaly, but not really. You know, Syndergaard threw a 95-mile-an-hour slider through 100 miles an hour. This happens to pitchers. What's interesting about this story now is that he is going to have the surgery in Florida, I feel like today or tomorrow. We know Chris Sale is scheduled to have it. We don't know if he's had it already or where he's having it. Noah Syndergaard is having this done. They have currently in Florida a mandate that has been passed down through legislation that non-essential surgeries should not be performed in that state. They have deemed this surgery, J.D. Bunkus, an essential surgery. Despite the fact that, well, I mean, to bring it back to R.A. Dickey, we know he lived an entire life without the ligament that's being replaced. He doesn't have a UCL. You can live your life without a UCL. What you can't do is be a top-flight major league pitcher, and you can't return to the New York Mets in a year's time if you don't have it right away.
I'm not really perturbed anymore by athletes playing with different rules in this different world, because that's one thing that's actually always been a constant here. Like, athletes are getting tested for COVID when other people are having really difficult times getting tests. Yeah, rich people live in a different set of circumstances. And this is the same thing. If you needed Tommy John tomorrow, there's no way that they would let you have it. It's Noah Syndergaard, and so they have found a workaround. They've got connections. They've got different people that they're going to be able to operate with that the normal person just would never have access to. So I'm not surprised by this. I'm not even perturbed by this. It's just, it is what it is. I actually think that if we're talking about non-essential surgeries, I know it's like he's already made a living. I don't know what his contract situation is, but I would say that if you were someone who was a roofer and you shattered one of your legs, and I know that that would probably fall under essential surgery because you wouldn't maybe be able to live or there'd be other complications. But you know what I'm saying? If you had something that debilitated you from doing your work when things clear up.
You needed vocal cord surgery.
Right. I would view that as something that actually is essential, that you can come out of this and then be able to make a living again and not be put on an economic hold for a longer period of time. So, like, I'm not really bothered by this. I'm bothered that you brought this up just because it's one of my least favorite sports takes that there's ever been in Blue Jays land, which is that the R.A. Dickey trade wasn't so bad because he pitched those innings, as you said. It's like, no, the R.A. Dickey trade was so unbelievably, incredibly bad. It doesn't matter that he pitched those innings. Noah Syndergaard in 2015 and 2016, when the Blue Jays were awesome, he was also absolutely incredible. People act like there's like he didn't pitch those years or that R.A. Dickey was somehow servicing the Blue Jays better. Like, this was the fight I used to get into with Andrew Walker on just like a almost regular basis. He was the eighth runner-up for the Cy Young. He was an all-star in 2016. He went 14-9. He had a 260 ERA in 31 starts. He was a complete badass. He struck out 218 people in 183 innings. He was so nasty. You don't trade that one season of Noah Syndergaard for all of those R.A. Dickey innings in a year where you were trying to compete. If the Blue Jays would have had Noah Syndergaard those 2 years, those two seasons, 2015 and 2016, how much does it change the ceiling of the team? Look at what they were in 2016, where the pitching was just lights out, and they had all of these guys that were just stacked one on top of the other. You throw Noah Syndergaard in the mix throwing that season, I don't know. Maybe things do go differently in that series against Cleveland. Maybe they go differently in 2015 when they can turn the ball to him. So I still think that that is one of the worst trades in modern Blue Jays history, because if you look at those two seasons versus what R.A. Dickey gave you, it's just like there's such a large divide. And I'm so tired of that take that the Dickey trade wasn't as bad as people make it out to be because Syndergaard's getting surgery 5 years later.
Okay, so 2016, the problem against Cleveland had nothing to do with pitching. They couldn't hit Ryan freaking Merritt, who was throwing 62 from the
left side.
The
problem wasn't
right?
pitching, but you know what helps you? Noah Syndergaard.
No question. I've already agreed with that basic premise that the highest level that Noah Syndergaard got to, it makes that trade bad. But there is still, man, like there's too much bashing of R.A. Dickey's tenure with the Toronto Blue Jays. 3.71 ERA, throwing 215 innings in the American League East in 2014. 3.91, like two seasons with an ERA under 4, throwing 34 and 33 games, throwing over 200 innings in both seasons. We understand that the playoffs are a different animal, and you didn't want him anywhere near a mound in the playoffs in 2015, and John Gibbons could not have been more pleased to remove him before he got through five innings in Texas. And
I didn't get to my seat,
David Price,
and he
barely
had blown the game against Texas. I didn't get to my seat. I had my two Bud Lights. I'm trying to sit down,
one.
And the game's over. I'm like, oh, you great, mean, thanks, all
against right. Kansas City.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
All right, All right, Dickey, not great, but not the worst pitcher ever. All right, when we come back, Adam Hadwin. He was supposed to play at the Masters. Still will, I guess, whenever that happens. He joins us next. It's a good show. Ben Annis, J.D. Bunkus, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hypothetical things that we would do if it resulted in sports coming back. And the reason I would do so many things is because I just want to watch our next guest play golf at Augusta. And that will happen, hopefully. Who knows when? Mm-hmm. what month, but Adam Hadwin, kind enough to join us on the line, PGA Tour golfer. Hey, Adam, how's it going?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing okay. How's your self-isolation going? What are you doing to keep busy?
Unfortunately, I've come to a quick realization that self-isolation is really not much different than my normal life. So, it's a little bit easier than it has been for some, but no, we're, we got a brand new baby. She's 11 weeks old now, so she takes up most of our time, but we get outside and take the dog for a walk, and we got a nice pond just off our backyard, so I can go fishing a little bit too. So lots of stuff to keep busy.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I would love to go fishing. All right, so like I was kind of alluding to, Adam, we were doing these hypotheticals, like if a wizard came to you and said you have to do this and sports come back tomorrow, would you do it? I have one for you. So here's the deal. PGA Tour season starts tomorrow. If you agree to only play with 13 clubs for an entire season, would you play with 13 clubs? You can choose whichever club you're getting rid of in the bag, and you can go tournament to tournament, but you play at a one-club disadvantage from everybody for an entire year, but the PGA Tour resumes tomorrow. Would you do it?
I'll take it. Yeah. Yeah, I get back to work.
12 clubs. How many clubs are we
going
down?
One club!
Are you just going to keep counting down until I say no?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we want to know how many clubs you truly value. That's what we were trying to figure out today. It's like, let's see how many we can get them down. How many of these things, like, do we really need, Adam? Do we really need 12? Do we really need 11? We're about to find out.
Yeah, that's a good question. And you're saying that all the other guys still get full set?
Yep, oh, that's right.
Okay, well, I mean, it probably couldn't be much more than a couple then. Maybe I'll cut it off at 12. 12 clubs would be the max. It'd be way too much of a disadvantage, I think. Maybe 11 if I'm feeling good that week. But
hey, listen, all I know is Tin Cup won that match playing with, like, a shovel and, what, like, a rake. Like I'm just saying, Adam.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm surprised we haven't seen somebody do it on tour yet if it was that successful.
So outside of golf, obviously, what are you missing the most on the sports calendar right now?
NHL, for sure. That was my go-to. I tried to watch as many Canucks games as possible and kept up with NHL TV when I was on the road and all that. But we'd be near in playoff time here pretty soon, if not in playoff time. So it's a little disappointing, but given the circumstances surrounding the world right now, it's probably a good thing.
For sure. But, you know, you're giving up that club, and we're saying all sports are resuming. We're trying to talk you into giving up that second club, and you're like, oh, you know, okay, so I would be golfing. I'm back on PGA Tour. And then the first thing you think of that you're getting back with the Canucks season, like the first thing that you're thinking of, oh, man, you know, it would be really nice to see this play out, would be what?
Playoffs, man. They're in the hunt, or they were in the hunt, at least up until a cancellation. It's been an exciting season. I mean, obviously they've been rebuilding the last little bit, but they've been fun to watch. I think a lot of people have said that, not just Canucks fans. So they've got a good young team, a good core group of players that, you know, hopefully can be together for a long time, and we can start making some cup runs again.
Yeah. And hopefully Jacob Markstrom is healthy now. So you played your first round at the Players in Florida, and you were pretty good. You were definitely in the mix after the first round, and then the rest of the tournament gets wiped away. What was that experience like? Like, how did you find out?
Yeah, it was such a weird week. You know, you go from, I got there Sunday night, and you go Monday, Tuesday, even Wednesday, sort of. There really wasn't much going on, wasn't much changing. It was kind of life as normal as this, you know, kind of the events in the country started to unfold. And then, you know, Wednesday night, they canceled the basketball game. And you're like, okay, well, it's, you know, kind of strange, but, you know, given the fact of, you know, the circumstances surrounding it, it made a lot of sense and this and that. And then I had to play the next morning, so I couldn't, you know, I wasn't staying up late or anything to keep watching stuff unfold. And then We played, and again, it was like a normal round, right? Crowds were there, and you had no hint at what was going to happen the rest of the day. Obviously, Jay made remarks at noon, I think, that day, and I was still on the golf course, so I had no idea what was happening. And then I was walking off the 15th hole to the 16th tee, and they had one of the NBC and Golf Channel announcers was walking with our group because one of the other guys was playing well, and we started talking. He goes, "Oh yeah, did you hear? There's going to be no fans tomorrow." I'm like, "Well, no, I didn't hear. I've been on the golf course." So, but okay, that's a development, and okay, all precaution, that type of stuff. And then he goes, "Oh yeah, and also the NBA season's done and the NHL season's done." I'm like, "Whoa, holy!" And that's all happened within 12 hours, basically, or 18 hours. So, and then, finished around, signed our card. It was kind of, we'll be no fans is what we'll do. Okay, we kind of get the spiel so that we know what to say for media and that sort of thing. And then just everything kind of cascaded Thursday night, it seemed like. I had a really late tee time Friday, so I was up late. And everything just kind of started pouring in. Obviously the other two leagues canceled and some other things canceled stuff. And then, Disney parks started shutting down, and then all of a sudden we're receiving text messages at 11 p.m. that we're not playing on Friday. So it was a very surreal week to start off with everything being, kosher, everything being the way it was to Thursday night. Okay, we're done. It was a shock, but I think it was a proper reaction to what was going on, especially now given what has happened and transpired in the last couple of weeks.
Well, do you think that a lot of your peers' attitudes have changed since the initial news, like from going from, hey, we'll play in front of no fans to where it's at now? What have the conversations been like between you and some other guys on tour?
I certainly think that the recognition of the severity of what's going on has increased. I think that, especially earlier in the week, not that we thought that it was a kind of a laughing matter, but it was still very much sort of the butt of the joke, if I'm allowed to say that. Anytime somebody had a sniffle or a cough, like, oh, better be careful, might have the virus, haha. To now, I think it's like, okay, we really need to take this seriously, and we need to do our part to kind of prevent the spread. And I'm sure we weren't the only one. I mean, obviously, Rudy Gobert got in a lot of trouble for what he was doing. Nobody certainly was running around our locker room, touching everything, trying to, purposely joke around like that. But, we were still in our therapy room that they set aside for personal therapists on tour is, maybe 300 square feet, and there would have been, 30 guys in there at one time. So, getting treated and all that kind of stuff. So I just think that, the recognition and certainly what has transpired these last couple of weeks, I think, has kind of opened our eyes a little bit more to what could potentially happen around the world.
Yeah, you definitely weren't alone in that sentiment, and everybody's come to a greater realization in the last few weeks. Talking to Adam Hadwin, so you mentioned that you were told that the Friday round or the rest of the tournament would be played without spectators, and then, of course, the entire tournament was canceled. We're expecting, listen, I'll just speak for myself, when we finally do get sports back, I find it hard to believe that there's going to be fans in attendance, and that includes PGA Tour events. It's an interesting sport, though, where I could see a scenario where that's actually an advantage to the players. How would you expect rounds to feel like without spectators?
Kind of my normal Thursday late afternoon round on the back nine. it's going to be different for sure, but I think it can have its benefits and negatives. Certainly, you see a lot of times golf balls hit offline that will ricochet and be end up good. Could be in a lot worse position than if fans weren't there. So It'll be very interesting, though. I think it'll be a lot different for guys that, you know, big name players that are used to having a big following all the time. I kind of joked about it, but I mean, I've played plenty of black back nines late in the day when fans have kind of gone home and there might be, you know, 5 or 10 people following and, you know, some lingers and some stands around the last couple holes. But, you know, just kind of throwing back to the junior and amateur days when it's really all about the golf and it's not about the show. And, I would agree with your sentiment. I think, you know, sports has been a great distraction over the years for many, and for all the hardships that go on in life, people can kind of turn to sports to distract themselves and have some sort of peace. And, you know, once we do get back flying, you're right, we'll probably be fanless for a little bit to contain everything and make sure we don't start another spread. And hopefully we can be a distraction to those people who are still dealing with some things.
Yeah, Tiger's going to have no idea what's happening. Like, he's going to be looking around. He's going to be freaking out.
I actually did just think, like, in my gambler's brain, oh, man, I'm fading all the favorites. I'm fading all the favorites at Augusta. Like, I'm going to the dartboard and being like, all right, who has played in smaller tournaments lately? That is who we're going with. I love it.
I think the best bet in the over-under is probably pretty high is how many hat tips and waves do you guys get?
Yeah, to nobody's? Yeah,
to nobody. That's going to be the real question. You know, somebody rolls in a 15-footer, right? I mean, at this point, it's just become standard for, you know, guys to tip their hat or wave or whatever. So how many times do guys do that before they realize that nobody's clapping for them?
Yeah, I can't wait.
I say keep doing it. I say just keep hat tipping to the cameras and to the audiences at home. Like, we're appreciating it. We're clapping. It's just you can't hear us or see us.
Okay, so that's the thing. I gotta be cognizant of where all of the cameras are and make sure that I recognize. Okay.
This is a breakout time, all right? Like, someone's gonna ham it up for the cameras a little bit, maybe get a little bit more recognition. Why not you?
Why not, right? Give the sponsor some love.
Talking to Adam Hadwin. So, we don't know what the season's going to look like, when it'll return, if it'll return, I suppose. I mean, Augusta seems pretty confident in the fact that Masters will be played this year. Do you have a preference into how the majors are played? Like, what if we just do, like, a month and a half where all four are played in a span of, like, 6 weeks? Is that feasible? Would you be down with that?
I'm down with anything that gets golf in, especially majors. You know, four biggest events. I mean, you'd love at this point to replay the Players being the big event that it is as well, but I don't quite see that happening. But I mean, anything that gets those four events in and gets them played, I'm all for. I'm not sure how the season's going to unfold either. It's I'll leave that up to the PGA Tour and its sponsors and all that. I just hopefully we get we can get through this. We can get back sooner than later, but it's going to be very interesting. It'll be, thinking about not so much guys like myself in the position that I'm in, but, you know, guys that just got their card, rookies on tour, guys playing, you know, guys that have played okay to start the Korn Ferry Tour that we're looking, you know, would be in line for a tour card to move up. I mean, there's so many factors going into this, and that's just, you know, our tour, let alone an NHL season, an NBA season, you know, NASCAR. I mean, basically every sport in the world at this point. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, and hopefully we can get back to playing some golf sometime this summer.
Yeah, I feel bad for those guys who were, like, you know, qualified for the Masters for the first time, or like yourself, who had put themselves in a position to be at the Olympics, which are pushed back a year. What was that? What was the communication like for that? And what were your feelings in understanding that, yeah, that's at least a next summer thing, the Tokyo Games?
Yeah, we were kept fairly up to date. I'd say we're receiving emails from the COC every couple months. I mean, to be honest, the emails didn't say much, that they were just tracking the situation and they would, you know, keep our best interests at heart and our health and that sort of thing. And, But again, it evolves so rapidly, the situation, and obviously mixed messages coming out as well. You know, COC saying they're taking it very seriously and they're looking and they're observing. And then you have messages from, you know, the IOC and the Japanese prime minister saying, no, they'll happen, which obviously changed really quickly there within a span of about a week, that their tune of everything changed once, once the virus continued to spread and got worse and worse. So I think it was the right decision. I don't think that anybody, I should say that, you know, golf is a bit different, I think, from a lot of the other Olympic sports, in that we haven't necessarily or don't necessarily train for one specific moment. Certainly we want our games to peak at certain times, but many of these athletes have been training for 2.5-3 years now, and going through a specific regimen to be ready to go on July 24th. And in the last little bit, most countries haven't been able to prepare at all. You know, pools have been closed, gyms have been closed. So it wouldn't be fair to the athletes that even if the world was in a position to be able to compete, that, you know, these athletes have been preparing for 3 years, and now they've had to take 2 months off before going. So it was the right decision. I think anybody could have seen it coming. There was no way that they would have been able to pull this off by July. And, it's good. We'll have a new date. Obviously, I know some athletes are going to be hurt by it, pushing it back, which really sucks. And this year may have been their chance. And it would really suck to lose that chance because of what's going on. But, you know, with thousands of people dying across the world, I think, you know, again, the Olympics represent some really good things, but it's not worth the world's lives.
Yeah, no doubt. Adam, thanks so much for doing this. Congrats on the new child. Enjoy the days, you know, at home with the newborn. Thanks for doing this.
I will, absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
As Adam Hadwin, PGA Tour golfer, had a nice opening round of the Players. Didn't get to wrap it up. Was headed to the Olympics. Not going to happen. But yeah, could be the most fun 12-month span of our sporting lives when sports do get back and everything's compressed, like especially in golf. Like if you're looking at, a month span where it's like every week it's Masters, it's PGA Championship, it's U.S. Open, it's British Open. Like that could
That's actually too much.
But that might be the reality. Here's the thing about the Open
every
Championship.
Too much.
There's some of these tournaments like the Masters in Georgia. It still gets pretty cold, I think, in that area of the world into the winter. But like you can't play the British Open in December or something. Like you got to get that in the summer here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd be down with it. I'd be fine with it. That's too much.
Because
that would be
weekend.
It would be
here's
so.
The problem, man. I wouldn't be able to watch any of it because it would be across from NBA playoffs and Stanley Cup playoffs. Like if the scenario is everything's all back at once, I don't know how much I would get to watch of it.
It would be during the day. It would be, what do you mean? It would just be your entire day. It would be golf during the day and then your playoff games at night. What are you talking about? That would be awesome.
That makes me feel so good thinking about my entire day just being sports.
Yeah.
Are we just allowed to stay home still and just watch sports all day? Because that would be great. I would really appreciate that. Imagine finishing our show at noon and then just settling in for the British Open and just being like, yeah, cool. Yeah. Talk to you tomorrow. And then there's playoffs later too.
Oh. Yeah, no, imagine doing a sports radio show with sports. Like imagine.
Oh.
that was weird, the noise we made. All right. Okay.
Made me smile. It actually made me feel a little warm.
Yeah. It'll happen. We'll have sports back one day. And when we do, maybe our next guest will be pitching then. He's working his way back from a back injury. Played last season, part of it at least, with the Oakland A's. He's a Toronto Blue Jays playoff legend. Marco Estrada next. It's Good Show. Ben Ennis, J.D. Bunkus, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. next guest have one of the greatest playoff starts in the history of the Toronto Blue Jays franchise. And this is a franchise that won two World Series, went 7 2/3, giving up 3 hits, 1 run, striking out 5, in a must-win game against the Kansas City Royals at Rogers Center in Game 5. Marco Estrada on the line, Toronto Blue Jays playoff legend. How's it going, Marco? How's the back?
Hey, guys. Morning. Back. it's kind of a little bit better. Slowly improving. But it's not where I'd like it to be yet.
So what is the hope for you that it's going to be back to where you want it to be? Like, are you hoping to pitch when baseball resumes?
I'm not sure. I was striving for that. I just don't know where my back's going to be. But if I don't think I can compete at a high level, then I'm not going to, I'm not just going to sign with someone just to sign. I want to give, a team everything I have. So we'll just wait and see. I still need more time. I'm not where I want to be right now. But I am working out. I'm trying everything out. And if not, I just want to live a healthy life. And so I'm trying to improve no matter what.
Yeah, man. So, like, how's your self-isolation going? Because, yeah, you said you're working out. I'm assuming that you have access to some stuff at home. But, like, how has that affected the day-to-day? How has that affected the way that you've been trying to get back? Has it felt a little derailed?
A little bit. A lot of the gyms are closed now. Actually, most of them are closed. I think there's a different one I go to that's still opened because it's a smaller gym and it's kind of a private gym, so it's a one-on-one. So there's one or two people in there while I'm working out, and that's it. So that place is still open, so that's good. But I think they're going to shut down pretty soon. And then the PT part of it, yeah.
No, go ahead.
The PT part, they're starting to slow down also. So we'll see. But everyday life hasn't really changed much other than the kids being home every day and having to basically be a teacher. That's been a little tough. You have to go over everything with them nowadays. And, and because they're home, they don't really want to do the homework and they don't want to do the work because they just want to, play with their toys and be on the iPads and whatnot. So that's been a little tough, but other than that, it's been great. It's been easy still. I'm a homebody, so things for me haven't really changed.
So I was talking about this with Ben on the phone the other day, cause he has kids. I have no kids. And I'm just trying to stay busy and call people and I don't know, be a little bit active outside, like get out for runs at night and still try to get the odd like piece of exercise in, eat healthy. But like my focus isn't extend past me. He's got to worry about two kids, but his two kids are not in school yet. So he doesn't have to learn anything. How old are your kids? Like what grades are they in? Because I was trying to think about this the other day. I don't think I could teach a kid grade 4 math. Like I think that if they were like, oh, here's the grade 4 math assignment, I'd be like, oh, well, I would have to go to the iPad. I'd be looking for, like, teacher apps, math apps. I used to have Math Blasters as a kid. It was a computer game. It's like that's what I'd be relying on. I'd be totally screwed.
Yeah, my kids are 9 and 7, so my daughter is in 4th grade. And they're in a chartered school, so they're a year or two advanced compared to this year. Normal school, I guess. And it's her math is kind of hard already. Luckily, that was the one subject that I was okay at. But I have gone back and I had to review a few things just to, oh, that's right, that's how you do that. And then I'd be able to help her. But my son's in first, so his stuff's really easy right now. But the patience is what's hard right now. Because a lot of, like I said, they don't really want to sit down and do everything. But yesterday was a long day. We knocked out, I think, 4 or 5 different subjects. And it was a good day.
So are you like, are you doing, how strict, like how disciplined are the teaching sessions? Are you like standing in front of them? They have to sit down and take notes. Are you doing like quizzes?
Is there detention?
No quizzes yet. So the schools did send out packages and we're just going over everything. I think on, it's either Thursday or Friday, they have a test, a spelling test. But yeah, it's been. I've been standing right over them. We didn't have the TV on yesterday. My wife's doing most of the work. I can't lie. she was right there next to him, sitting down and going over everything. And I kind of just stood. And if they didn't want to listen, I'm going to be the bad guy and kind of get on them about paying attention.
I would just be like, the hard part for me would be, especially if they were older, like right now it's still like you're only cheating yourself. But if your kid's trying to get in university, right? Your kid's 16 years old and the test is being administered in your house, you're not going to be like, hey, let's do some Googling here. Like, let's get this, let's get these answers down right. We're trying to get into Dartmouth, son. Like, we're not trying to like, go to community college. Let's cheat some of these answers. Like, I feel like there's going to be some kids whose grades during the unsupervised time.
Felicity Huffman went to prison for that. I mean, no big deal.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It's a risky proposition. But who's watching the watchers right now? That's what I want to know. How are they doing this? Like, how are they making sure that kids aren't cheating? Ben, you're telling me you wouldn't help your kid cheat if it was the difference between a good school and a bad school in this situation?
Oh,
give me a
my
break.
Goodness. Listen, I have a 19, 20-year-old daughter and or sister-in-law, and she's taking a college final, like a university final, from home. I have no idea how that's supposed to work, but I guess there's got to be some oversight in some way. I don't know. I guess they're gonna be like, wow, look at the grading curve, everybody got 99s in this 2020 year. Incredible
geniuses. They're gonna fix the planet, they're gonna fix climate change, we're gonna have a vaccine in a couple of weeks. Like, we got super geniuses working here. This generation, baby, save the day. Let's go.
Speaking of cheating, so I went back in your game log in 2017, Marco, to see how your starts went against the Houston Astros, and specifically in Houston, if you started. You did start once in Houston. We know it was happening in 2018, too, and your 2018 start was pretty good, too. But in 2017, in the height of Houston Astros cheating, do you remember what you did in that game in Houston?
This was at home for us?
No, in Houston.
Was the game on the... Oh, it was in Houston? No, I don't remember anything.
Well, I can't believe you didn't go back and check your stats from that game just once you heard the scandal broke.
Yeah, no, and you would have liked what you saw, because it was an up-and-down year for you. But, you went 7 in this game, giving up just 3 runs on 5 hits. It was a couple of dingers, but, yeah, man, you were just too good. Like, there's no amount of cheating that could bring down Marco Estrada.
That's pretty cool. I knew of the game that I pitched at home against them, and I think that was almost the same line. It was a pretty good pitch game. And I do recall, I don't remember a trash can being hit. I remember a lot of whistling going on, but I thought it was a fan. So that was, once I heard about all this, it kind of made a little more sense. I'm glad things went well for me, but there are guys that, lost jobs because of this, and those are the people that it's very unfair for. It's unfair for everybody, and obviously it's something that should have been done, but it's I don't really have much thought about it, to be honest.
Well, I mean, there was conversations, I imagine, at the time, but I'm sure there were conversations about a lot of teams doing a lot of different stuff. Like, how did you view Houston and going to Houston any differently than any other teams? You were always trying to protect your signs, or did you know, like, that's something especially weird that's happening with that Astros team, and especially in that building?
Yeah, I think guys were aware of this, and our meetings were a little bit different. I think we were always told to kind of switch our signs up, and me being the stubborn, veteran guy that I was during my last year, I didn't care for switching anything. I said, listen, if I make my pitches, then I'm going to hit it. And that was my thought going in. And like you said, 17 and 18, I guess they were a decent start. 19, I had a start against them, and that didn't go very well. But I was also throwing 82 miles an hour, so it's kind of hard to pitch for me. But, yeah, I think, you know, if you hit your spots, yeah, it, obviously it makes it easier for them knowing what's coming, especially when a guy like me that doesn't throw very hard and, you know, if you know a changeup's coming, that kind of takes everything away from me. But I think if it's located, it still makes it really hard to hit.
Hey, man, so we're obviously without sports and being a major sports network. The move automatically is to replay old games, right? Like, it's just like, what's on TV tonight? Mm-hmm. Old games, baby. Like, you better believe that we're getting some 92 World Series in, we're getting some Raptors games in, and we're getting a lot of the 2015 season. And yesterday they aired a game that I actually didn't see because I was at a cottage at that time in the summer. It was the comeback from down 8-1 against the Red Sox in 2015. And I was curious because we were going to get to talk to you today. Do you remember what the locker room shift was when Alex Anthopoulos went out that deadline and got Tulo and got Price? How things changed basically the first day those guys stepped into the clubhouse?
Oh, man. I mean, you're talking about two huge veteran presence, you know, just obviously what they've done on the field was incredible, and we knew that was a huge boost. But, you know, what they bring inside the clubhouse, their presence, you know, the way they go about their business, it definitely pumped us up big time. And my agent's the same agent that Tulo has, and I knew about this. I wasn't supposed to speak about it or whatever, but he was telling me this, there could be a possibility of him going there, and I couldn't believe it. You know, Tulo was, especially when he was healthy, one of the best shortstops ever to play the game. And, you know, we needed a little help there. And picking up a guy like that just meant a lot. And then having David Price, one of the best starters, come in, and a huge, huge help in the clubhouse and on the field, off the field, everything. Great guy. It pumped us all up. And, they were everything we wanted them to be. You know, they showed up and just killed it for us.
Yeah. I mean, 2015, that was a fun time. And, yeah, we're going to have fun re-watching those games. It didn't end the way we wanted it to, especially. Yeah, Game 6 could have definitely gone a different way. It didn't. But are you like the rest of us? Like, do you go back? Have you gone back and re-watched any of those games? Are you interested in seeing any of them again?
I mean, no, I haven't really gone back to look at any of it. If anything, I've gone back just to see a few, like, mechanics of mine when I felt really good. And I don't know if that was one of the games I went back and looked at, but I guess I have gone back. But this was last year when I was still playing, you know, just trying to get everything back to normal. And those were the only times I was going back to look at anything. But as of late, no, I haven't seen anything. Kind of my mind's been off of baseball. I'm trying to focus on my body and my family, and especially now with this whole coronavirus thing going on, you know, you're focused on that and just want to keep everybody healthy. You know, those games do get brought up, and they're fun to talk about. It is crazy that, you know, we didn't win the whole thing with a team like that, and we felt invincible during that time. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, like I said, those two guys showed up, and we just thought, man, that's it. We're gonna win it all. And during the season, you saw the way we changed, how well we played. If we lost a game, it was like, okay, that was a fluke. We're just gonna go on another 10-game winning streak, and we would do that. So it was a lot of fun. But, yeah, I haven't really gone back and looked at any game lately.
Mm. Yeah, we don't need to talk about...
That's baseball.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about a couple of those calls. Yeah, and, like, pretty clearly you guys are better than the Royals. No big deal. But, yeah, we'll We don't have to go down that path because, I mean, just everybody knows it. Marco, we appreciate the time. Best of luck with the back and getting back to baseball. And enjoy Mr. Professor at home.
Yeah. I need to have my coffee before I get started.
See you, Marco.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. There's Marco Estrada, Toronto Blue Jays playoff legend, and influencing the youth of tomorrow. He's good at math.
Good guy getting up early, too. I think he's in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that.
He's got a full day of teaching ahead. Rehab comes on. I love that, though. We felt invincible. Because that's kind of how you felt as a fan watching that team, too, right? Like, they were going to figure it out. That even if you were you were watching the Jays in 2015 and they were down by 6-7 runs or 8 runs, or it was just like, okay, the game's not over. It's the exact opposite feeling you had of watching the 2018 where they were down 1 run and you felt very, very invincible. You were like, this team's invincible. They're invincible, baby.
Yeah, they got vinced so many times.
Yeah. So many times. You could vince them like that. It was like, you vinced them. No.
Yeah. No, that 2015 team, like, basically didn't lose from the trade deadline on. They didn't. They swept the Twins. Remember, they, like, that first series, I think, might have been the most fun of all the regular season games down the stretch. You were like, we're not in the playoffs yet. Like, obviously, we're getting in the playoffs, but here's this first test. The Twins are holding down a playoff spot. Bang, bang, bang. Four straight wins. They just swept them in 4 games. They were like, goodbye. And they just, the playoffs were never an issue. From that point, you can play our new game every weekday morning, 6:45, where you need to be either really good or really bad to win it all. It's called All or Nothing, and like the name says, you need to get it all right or none of it right to win. There will be $100 to untuck it available to win every time, but if we don't have a winner, that $100 rolls forward, adds to the next day's prize. So join us every weekday morning, 6:45, to play All or Nothing, brought to you by Untuck It, and visit sportsnet.ca/594, All or Nothing contest details. When we come back, odds and ends. It's a good show. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, time for odds and ends. There's a couple of odds and ends that have been sitting in this list for days and days and days. They're getting stale. This is the last chance for any of those that you've put on there. JD, do you want to do any of the ones that have been on there for a while?
I'm just going to say quickly, I'll do a rapid fire of them. The Curb finale was amazing. It remains one of the biggest blemishes on your record as a fan of Larry David and as a fan of his work that you have fallen, I want to say, 5 seasons behind in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It's a few.
It should be you're out here watching animal abuse show like the rest of the world, saying like, oh, this is great, animal abuse show, I love it, instead of watching Curb, which is brutal to me. But the Curb finale was a real stamp on one of the greatest comedy series seasons of all time. Like, I know that we do this a lot, and I've said this before, that there's a recency bias, that there are so many good Curb seasons. There are incredible Curb seasons, like the Seinfeld season, season 4 of Curb Your Enthusiasm, season 1 of Curb Your Enthusiasm. There's so many good ones. I don't want to say this is the best, but it certainly fits into Larry David's best work, which is just, it's incredible. And I've never seen, I don't know if he had his a season that was executed as perfectly as this one, with the finale that was as satisfying and as solid as this one, so if you're not watching Curb, I highly recommend that you go and add that into your television schedule right now instead of the animal abuse show that, again, all of you are watching.
It's not – the animal abuse is kind of secondary. It's more about human.
The whole story centers garbage. Around people who – human garbage people that abuse animals. It's like, great show. Great show that the world has all chosen to watch during the middle of this. Kim and Kanye should go to jail. I don't know what else there is to say about this story. If you're not following along, they doctored a tape of Taylor Swift and they put it out into the universe as though Taylor Swift gave them permission to use some pretty unsavory lyrics towards Taylor Swift from Kanye West, who's been basically, trying to railroad her career for just about a decade. And I just think that if you illegally record someone, you put a legal recording out on the internet, and it turns out especially that you've doctored this illegal recording, why wouldn't you go to jail for this? Like, we're going to be living in a world where you're going to be able to make deep fakes, and all types of fakes are going to be easier and easier to do. And don't you think that this extends beyond a civil trial? Like, I don't understand how this isn't doesn't become a criminal offense.
Well, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know. Is it not liable? Like, is it not?
It is.
I that seems like actually we already have a law for that you should be able to.
We do, but put them in prison.
Well, I don't know about prison, but sure. You know what? No, why am I fighting against putting Kim and Kanye in prison? Put them in prison, of course. Yes. Oh, yeah, of course, in prison. Not together.
Kanye is one of my favorite artists of all time, and it's just so hard. It's just so hard. It's like, he's such a bad person. Like, he's actually such a bad person that it now taints the music. Like, I can't just listen to Kanye songs anymore and not think about who he's become and how bad he is. Just brutal.
Yeah. No, he's horrible. And the worst example of, yeah, like, you don't want too much information on your heroes was that David Letterman show where he had basically an entire episode dedicated to Kanye West at his house and then an interview in front of people. Is the worst thing. Like, I felt so bad ever liking either guy throughout the course of that thing. Yeah, it's actually kind of making my skin crawl thinking back to it. It was bad. And yeah, go to prison.
Go to prison. Now for some more recent stuff. Explain to me what you wrote here at the very bottom of Odds and Ends today, because I don't know what that means.
Okay, so Ken Rosenthal.
Unless it's obvious.
No, maybe it's obvious, but maybe not. So Ken Rosenthal wrote about the discussions that are taking place between Major League Baseball and its players' union as far as how service time issues are going to work in an abbreviated season, in a season that's less than 162 games. So we don't know 100% of the Nate Pearsons of the world. We don't know. But we do know that however long the season is, you're going to be credited for a full season if you play the whole season, because there was a scenario. So like Mookie Betts is going to be a free agent, right? You're like, nothing's going to derail that, right? Well, here's the thing. He's actually technically 102 days shy of becoming a free agent. So there was a scenario in which they didn't figure this out where they play an 80 some odd game schedule and Mookie Betts is still under team control for the season beyond 2020 because he doesn't get to his 102 days. But yeah, man, they've at least agreed to the idea that if we play 80 games, you get credited for the full season. What that means for Nate Pearson, like, is it now it's a ratio? So, like, instead of having to miss 2 weeks, he has to miss, like, one day to have his extra year of free agency or extra year of team control added to the end of his tenure with the Blue Jays? We don't know about that. But we do know if you play the whole season, you're going to get credited for the whole season. I want to get to this one from Tom Habistrow and, Brian Windhorst, actually, broke the news that the Chinese Basketball Association was going to try and restart their season mid-April. They pushed it back now to May, so it would be a four-month hiatus after they shut it down, and there's 20 American players that are already back getting ready to play in this thing. So for a point of reference, four-month hiatus for the NBA would see a mid-July return. Now, there's a bunch of different reasons why maybe the return is not as quick as China, but if that's it, it's a July return.
So you have today's positive story of the day.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to next. A lot of companies have talked about doing this, and Bauer, the most recent to actually put it to work. I'm looking at a picture of it. Bauer has put aside skates and hockey protection gears to create a protection visor that would be useful against COVID-19. Production could go on as soon as the government gives it a green light. And these are, of course, the face masks you've seen healthcare workers use in the line of fire trying to treat this disease. So good on another company putting its resources to good use.
And also, if for whatever reason you do have masks, you do have them in abundance, get them to your healthcare workers. I have a friend who's a nurse. She posted a PSA today. Nurses and doctors are down to 2 masks a day. Like, if you've got some, give them to healthcare professionals, not yourself.
All right. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.